And it's 6:02. We only have Hunter for another 25 minutes or so. So I thought we'd just make sure we get his feedback before we lose him. So why don't we do that first?
Okay. Let's see. John, I reviewed your last round of spreadsheets. And I think I just want to make sure I'm looking at the right one. It's dated 11/13/2020, right? I think it came through earlier today.
Yeah. That's the latest one.
Yeah. Okay. And I see they've incorporated all the things that we talked about last time. I guess whatever bugs were in there, you've worked them out. And I think it presents five, you know, really good options. I think those look great. I don't have too much of a comment on those. And I think, again, you know, it's going to present some nice options to the town. And then I think the narrative that Scott's putting together looks really good as well. And let's see, I'm just pulling that up. Scott, I think you did a really nice job of capturing all of this. And, the only thing on that there we go. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom of it, the last charts that are on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, okay. That's starting with that one. I mean, I know what those mean and what you're trying to convey. I'm just wondering if everybody else will, if these are the only ones that have no sort of narrative attached to them.
Yeah. This was sort of hastily done, but I think what we can do below each of these last charts is just tuck in a short paragraph of narrative at explaining what these are.
Yeah. And just so I'm clear, what we're trying to convey with these, this one, the chart 4.1, it's just showing the different tax contributions. I mean, right, that basically show, the lightest payment to the highest payment, based on the models.
Right.
So I don't know if that's, it's interesting to see that. I think you can see that in the spreadsheets or the information above as well with the contributions. So,
right.
So is this just, I don't know if this is like, in a way I read this sort of as a pitch to, you know, maybe go with that loan model, showing that as the lightest contribution.
Well, this might, just to throw it out there, this might be a good place to try and pull it together and kind of summarize in bullet point form, as short as possible, like sort of the pluses and minuses. Even though you might draw conclusions just from the number, this might be another place to briefly reiterate some of the pluses and minuses.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, it's not just, this isn't the only sort of criteria, right? Making a decision.
Right. And this only represents out of all of what's modeled out, it just represents the level approach. Sort of middle scenario in each of the models.
Yep. Okay. And then the next chart after this one.
Same thing, right?
Can be really confusing if you don't really, I'm seeing what it's doing, but like, what's, I'm just wondering, like, what's the point of it?
Right. Okay. We can work on that. I think that's pretty easy to do.
Yeah. Okay.
If I could, Andre, and I agree with you. I mean, I look at this chart and go like, oh, that is ugly. And especially because a couple of the lines
blend together.
Are on top of each other, right?
Yeah,
so that at the beginning until you get to the after 5 years, and then they diverge again. But the only reason I thought it might be helpful, and we could show it a different way, is just to show that pay-as-you-go is a rough ride, regardless of which model. right? Yeah. It's certainly even rougher with the save up than that, but it's rough for all of them. So
yeah, so that this is my, you know, just being part of these conversations. I mean, and I see this. I can understand what this means. I'm just not sure if it's going to be clear for others. I mean, to me, it's exactly what you're saying, John, where the like that Woodstock loan model is the one that sort of keeps our reserve balances steady, where the other ones, we have some low dips where, you know, we're going into a real reserve deficit, and we've got some peaks where, you know, we probably, you know, by this tells me like we have more capital reserve than we need. We don't, I mean, because we end up using it up, but it does sort of convey the idea that we're just all over the place with our capital reserve account. And, you know, in some areas we might get caught with our pants down, and in other areas, you know, we might just be being too excessive about it. So I know right. that's not really the case, but again, you know, I just think that some explanation, behind this would be really helpful.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess the question that I would ask, why do we have the pay-you-go model? It's up and down. There's no reserve to cushion the ups and downs. As John, you just said, it's up and down on all models. It just doesn't seem like a very logical thing for this committee to represent if you're going to have some even money going into the reserve account or even money coming out in some sort of a loan account. It just doesn't make any sense.
If I can speak to that for a moment, I actually think it could very well make quite a bit of sense, because at least in the loan model, it may not make sense for the save up model, but in the loan model, it actually makes a lot of sense to show it, because you're going to have basically a loan agreement in place. So while it may present here as well, for the loans, it's smoother, but it does matter, because you can calibrate your annual payments based upon the loan agreements you have in place. And so that's pretty stable right there.
Yeah. And this is also the result of the chart before too, right? Which is a somewhat level contribution, tax contribution.
Right.
This is the result of those level tax contributions under the different models. So,
right.
So John, it's not like, I think John.
I was talking about the current, the pay as you go without using the current reserve balance.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. We would, and that's not on this chart. In fact, that's another discussion we should have when we go back up into the document, I think, because I'm not sure it's worth talking about in the summary, but this chart does use the reserves first.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, this chart really, maybe it needs a different label. This chart is every year, how much is the town of Pomfret writing checks for, or right. however they wire the money, or however they pay right. anybody, this is the money going out the door, regardless of how it got in the door.
Right. Yeah, maybe just another label that might be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're saying pay as you go, but you're only using the $131,000 in the current balance. You're having no reserve balance that's going to go from 2022 to 2037. Is that correct?
This does not talk about putting away more money than you're spending each right. year.
Well, then if you do that, then it's going to be all over the map like you've got here. So it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, but again, it actually does make sense, because at least under a loan model, it does, because in the loan model, you're going to have a financing. You're going to have predictability because you've got a signed agreement that tells you what your payments are going to be for the next 7 years.
Yeah. And John Moore, I think to get this to look the way you're thinking it should, the the tax contribution chart that came before this is going to have to start looking like this, the money going in, right? If you're going to try and balance this out, is that what you're saying? Because I don't think you can have both the chart before that and this one, both holding steady lines, right? If you sort of reverse these, if this is money going in, then the balance will probably be flatter. Is that, or am I missing your point?
No, I guess it's a point to sell the loan. It basically says you don't have to fund anything in 22, just a little bit of money in 23, a little bit of money in 24. You don't have to worry about it. And then you get up to $200,000 and then you keep going up from there. So it looks good right now for the taxpayers for the next 5 years. It certainly does. And it levels off, but mm-hmm. I'm not so sure that that's fair for the current taxpayers to get off scot-free, but maybe it is. It's up to the state to decide.
I don't know that that's an accurate way to characterize it because
this is money going out. So we're still putting money in, the same amount going in. So they're not getting off.
We're not putting any more money in. It's pay as you go.
Well,
no.
Relabel it and just call it this is.
Yeah, it's not pay as you go because it's coming right off for the spreadsheets that John Rickinson put together. So that shows using that 130 and starting to pay whatever.
It's using the 131. That's using the 131,000, right?
Yeah, but then we're also making tax contributions of, you know, whichever model we pick, you know, like 125 to 160 or whatever going in that first year. We're not getting off scot-free.
I don't think the loan model is asking for any money to go in, is it? Except to pay the loan.
It's just paying the loan.
Right. Exactly.
But no, wait, hold on. I'm confused. Go to the chart before this, Scott, if you can. Aren't we right there in the first year where we've got a variety of different payment scenarios? We're not paying nothing.
This is different year. Though. This is a different scenario, Hunter, than the other chart. This is a leveled.
Right.
So this is not actually what, you know, the ins and outs are equal. This is a level amount.
This is money going in, and the other chart shows money going out, basically.
No, not exactly. This is money going in, yes. And if you were to combine it with the next chart, the two would be the same. But in the, if we were strictly in a money going out kind of scenario, maybe I'm starting to get twisted up, but they're not necessarily. You could go ahead, John Rickinson. You might be able to explain it better.
If we wanted to show just money going out, that it would look just like that choppy one, with the only difference being in year one, we wouldn't be using the reserve, or year one and year two on the loans. Other than that, it would look the same. I didn't think that made sense because I didn't think we were talking about money going out. I thought we were talking about money coming in. And this is what money coming in would have to look like if we just paid our bills every year. And I'm not suggesting we should do that at all. That's the other model. This is what a rich person with money in the bank would do. You know, they just pay the bills when they come in. And one year they have spend a lot, another year they don't spend much at all. So that's all this is saying. I'm not suggesting we would ever do this, at least not in the cash save up scenarios. You might do this in the loan scenarios, but not in the save up scenarios. Right. Obviously, that's what this says. The save up scenarios are not a good idea to pay as you go.
Right.
Okay. Exactly. Thanks, John.
Yeah. That is right. That is really the good synopsis. That the save up.
I was not understanding that properly. So thank you for clarifying that. I get it now. I mean, I guess it's still conveying the same point. It's just that it's coming at it from an angle that's slightly different than what I was thinking it was.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same numbers from the spreadsheet. I mean, I hope folks know that.
Like, yeah.
You change a number on the spreadsheet, it changes the chart. Not in the Word document, but in the spreadsheet.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Well, so those are really my primary comments about all this. Otherwise, I think it looks great.
Okay. All right. Good. Then where do we want to go from here? Is John Moore, I think you had some questions for John about numbers in the spreadsheet.
Well, I had a question on the save up model where you've got the first line has 2,920,000 and change. The other model has 2,794,000 or something, and that includes a $6,000 cash reserve. And then the third one is the 2,000,007 something without the, and so I thought, I kept noodling my head. First, there was one that was 2.5 million. And then I finally looked at it about the same time John caught it. They were only going back through L on the spreadsheet, not to the K model, and picking up the 287,000. So that finally got squared away. So I understood that. But I don't understand the purpose of the three examples. If you take the first example where you pay as you go for the loan model, it comes up with the higher number, but you also have to subtract the $131,000 in the reserve account because you haven't spent that. The other two models spend the $131,000. So in the end of the day, all three models have the same number except for the middle one that has the $6,000. So what's the point in having, you're going to a select board and you got three numbers that can be justified to be exactly the same, but you'd look at it at first, and I've looked at it for the last week and a half, and I'm saying, why is one of those 2.9 million? I'm not sure that's the number because I don't have it in front of me. Yeah, but why is that one higher than the other two? We're buying the same stuff. It has to be the same. And it took me until just after I went and said to John, I think you got to add the 131 in. Well, he added it in. Finally, I finally realized that that was the case. But if you haven't used it in the pay-as-you-go model up front, the top one, you've got to deduct it. You've still got that money in the bank. So it just is the craziest thing. Just have one, the save-up model cost X. It doesn't cost X less 131 or X minus 6,000, or it's crazy. I don't get it. I don't get why we need three examples on a save-up model on how you're going to pay for it. One of them doesn't make any sense because it's all over the map. You know the select board's not going to buy that. It would screw the tax rate up beyond belief. And that's true for using the 131 in pay-as-you-go. There's only one that makes sense there. And that's the one with the reserve. The rest of them don't make any sense. So.
And John, so I don't disagree with you at all about what makes sense. As far as the numbers go, and like I said, this sheet with all the details on it, especially, so not the summary sheet, but the detail sheet, you know, this, and, you know, Neil and I work together on this. This is, and I'm not trying to pass the buck to Neil because I futzed around with it a lot. this is our kind of our database, right? And all that row with that doesn't take the 131 out that I think, you know, kind of bothers you. That's the row that's just showing this is the money going out from the town of Pomfret to the suppliers of these vehicles. That's all that is. That's
well, then you shouldn't label it then on the left-hand side as cash purchase pay cumulative pay as you go. It shouldn't be labeled that. If all that's doing is keeping track of the total cash, then that's not an option. That's not a financing option. And you're calling it a financing option.
I'm okay with that. I really am. I mean, honestly, it was the other ones that came first. And then it was like, well, what are we going to call this one? But I agree. We would never do that. And it, I mean, it is clearly labeled without using current reserves.
It doesn't make any sense, because if you take out the 131,000, it's the same as the other two. And because it's going up and down like crazy, it is not a practical solution for the town. Period.
Even when you use the reserves, it goes up and down, right? It just starts 131 lower. That's all.
No, but you've got the payments. The payments are all over the place in terms of 140,000, and I mean they're
yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt. You. I'm a little lost. I've got the detailed tab up. Can we just get reference to where we are? I just want to make sure I'm following along.
Yeah, I'm not following either.
All right, can you move the spreadsheet? Let me get rid of this over here, I guess, and then maybe I can. I don't know how to get rid of that bar on the right.
You can minimize it, John.
Okay. There's at the right.
The other thing is, we're running a spreadsheet out here to give to the select board through 37. We don't need to show a 10-year total, and we need to show the total for the whole thing. What are we showing the 10-year total for?
What's the 10-year? In my view, the 10-year total is basically our charge. We're you know, it's just like we've talked about in the past. When you start getting beyond 10 years, it really starts to get a little bit speculative, and the further you go, the more speculative it gets. So most capital plans only project out 5 or 10 years at most. So that's why the 10-year framework is relevant. But as we've been talking now for quite a while, and as you've pointed out, John Moore, 10 years doesn't tell the whole story. So that's why we've got not only the detail going out, but also a way to relate back to, well, here's your 10-year, here's what's beyond that, and here's the total when you add it all up. So to me, it is important to show those, and I don't think there's any harm in showing it either.
Well, it seems though the purpose of this to the select board is for them to decide two things. Are they going to trade the trucks every 5 years? The answer is probably yes, because all the models show that. Are they going to trade the grader and the loader every 7, or are they going to trade one in 10 and 14? That's a decision they have to make. That's one decision. The next decision is, are they going to finance it, or are they going to pay a loan for it? And the part that bothered me the most on this save up model, if you're just a lay person and look at it, it says, well, if I save up and pay and don't use the reserve and pay cash, and if I look at that number at the end, it's not big enough. I can't see it. Let me bump it up a little bit here.
Should I be on the summary? I need some cell references, or I need to know where you guys are at.
I'm on M.
On the detail?
No, on the detail. That's on the screen. No.
No, no. Right. Go back, Scott. It's 11M. M11.
M.
11M.
Row 11.
And I look down at row 11.
Go all the way out to the total, Scott. Yeah, right there. Right. Nope. Right there.
If I'm on the select board, I look at that and I say, oh, if I buy this stuff and don't use the reserve, that's really expensive. That's more than the next column. So what happens in the next column? Oh, if I put in a reserve each year of 140,000, oh, that costs me less. And then if I do it this last one down here, that even costs me less too. Well, the difference between the top one and the next one is that you've still got the $131,000 in the bank on the top row. You should show that. I mean, these numbers, you can come up with numbers, and it took me the longest time to try to justify these numbers. And it was even harder before, because the middle total there that's in bold was 2.5 million until just recently, until John added in column K. It went back in the sum and went back.
Yeah, so that was left out of the formula because But it used to have asterisks in it, and it.
But I yeah. all these numbers are justifiable to be the same. Basically, if you take out the 131,000 on the first one, and you got the little bit of reserve in there for $6,000, so that's $6,000 higher. And the last one doesn't make any more sense than the first one because it's the numbers are all over the map. So I guess I just don't see why we're presenting three examples and two of them don't make any sense to me.
But well, here's why I think where I thought we started on this is when we were trying to model this out, our goal, because where we started before our latest version of the spreadsheet is there were complaints about things not being kind of apples to apples. And so while I hear you, John, in terms of what the select board might do, but I think that is something we talk about either in the narrative and or in our presentation. But I think when you're presenting data, it's always, in my opinion, better to present a consistent set of data so that even though there may be some of these scenarios might be easily ruled out, that's fine, that's okay. But the benefit here is that we're showing consistent data across the board, and then it can become readily apparent which ones are gonna get eliminated just based upon looking at it. So I don't see any harm in doing, you know, that consistent representation of the data across all the models. And then in the narrative and or in our presentation, we can just speak to the ones that are easily eliminated because they're not gonna make a lot of sense to actually choose. But I would suggest, and I think it's best approach to actually present all the data consistently.
Maybe one suggestion on the spreadsheet then, if you want to leave everything in, is you've got the 10-year total, the 16-year total, then you've got a total from 2000 and whatever, 32 to 37, and then you've got an annual total. And then down on the finance model, you add in the residual. So maybe you should go over to A, B, A, C, A, D, A, E, A, F, and add another column and bring out the total for this spreadsheet so that it shows it would actually be just putting in the same total as in row M and putting it out there. That's the total that we're comparing for this particular model, all the models.
You said row M. Do you mean column M?
Yes, I misspoke. It's A-A-A-B-A-C-A-D-A-E-B, column A-F. Make that the total column.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, we were talking about that before, whether we should put that in there or whether we should just add it up in the narrative. We can do both. It's fine by me.
Well, it's difficult to add. I did it. I took the $667,000 and added it to this over here to see what it compared with that. And it was $140,000 more, but I had to add three numbers or two numbers.
Yeah.
Let's add them up for them.
That's fine. I mean, I don't see any harm in that. I think we chose not to do that just to not add more columns, but it's fine to put it in there. We already got, it's data rich. So I don't see any harm in doing that.
I was trying to get rid of some columns. I didn't get any traction. So I guess I want to add the one that really counts.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that way they can tie it out to the narrative. That's fine.
And John, if it makes you feel better, and I think it might be good for consistency, we could add a row after row 12 that shows the reserve balance of 131 straight across on that one, because that is the truth. I'm just explaining those rows 11 and 12 started out not as a payment plan, but as a this is how much money we need, not how much we're going to ask taxpayers. So we could We could put the reserve balance there just for completeness. If you think
I would be happy to scratch it, but if you want to leave it, only because it doesn't make any sense anymore than the model number.
Well, you need it because it's okay. Everything below it is based on it. I mean, you don't know how much to spread until you know how much you're spending.
No, I know you need the row, but you don't need to call it as a viable solution. But Scott wants to call it as a viable option. So let's leave it in.
Let me rephrase what I'm saying. Everything should be an option, whether it's viable or not, is the judgment of the select board. But I think, you know, this is just kind of typical data analysis, is that you present all the options in an equal sort of format, and then that's your base. And that's what we're trying to present to the select board, is the base. And then in the narrative and in our presentation, we can speak to which ones are viable or not and say, look, we presented all the data just so it's all apples to apples. But here are some ones that just, you know, don't make sense at all. But I would rather present all the data and then eliminate through our dialogue which ones don't make sense. Because that's just good data analysis, right? Is that you kind of present all the options, everything's consistent, and then you go through the process of eliminating.
This is Neil. Could I make a comment?
Please.
So John was suggesting that the out at the right side, whichever, I don't have the columns there, but the one that shows 10-year total and the total needed from 32 to 37, those three columns, I added those to make my point that we needed to run the model out to pick up the grader out at 36 or 37.
Right.
And that's the only reason that I put them in there. I think that if you have a question about the reliability of the model after 2031, handle that in the narrative. But I think you have to show all of them out there and to show that we have the 10-year total and the 16-year total is not, it doesn't serve any purpose for, as far as I can see. Show the 16-year total and that's it.
I guess I would disagree with that again, because we're really, if you go back to the original objective, we were supposed to present a capital plan for 5 years. And because of all the factors we're talking about to make sure we play this out, we've gone quite much further into the future. But again, you know, once you get beyond 10 years, you're getting into quite a speculative realm in terms of numbers and projections. So I don't have any problem showing the 16-year number at all, but I do think we need to show the 10-year.
But there isn't any difference in our methodology from 22 to 31 and from 32 to 37. We're using the same depreciation and the same inflation rates. If you have a reservation about the reliability of that information or using that methodology, then cover that in the narrative.
Okay, that's fine. But again, I don't see any harm in showing the 10-year. I don't see why that's a problem.
It's a problem because the more numbers you show, the longer it's going to take people to digest them all. The fewer numbers you have and still make a good case for whatever we're explaining is better.
Well, yes. But the reality is, if you look at the narrative, it is showing both. So you've got the 10-year total. You've got the total for 32 through 37, which is basically the different, the 16-year, the years 11 to 16. And then you've got the total number for both of those. So you've got the 16-year total right there in the table. So I don't see the problem.
I would agree with Neil that we've been working with these spreadsheets, and even we have been confused, and we've made mistakes and errors and corrections, and it's a very complicated deal. You're giving it to them for the first time. I hate to tell you, Scott, but they're going to gloss over this. They're going to look at all these. We know now that we don't even pay any attention to the top part of this chart, because that's the part we've already agreed upon, and it's solid. And that's all the trucks and the graders and the 2% appreciation and the depreciation. And we don't even look at that. And so we are trained our eye to look at certain numbers. I've trained my eye to look at those three numbers that I just mentioned, trying to get those to balance out in my head. But you're talking about a board that's going to look at 300 numbers here. Neil, does it really? And anyway,
I think I'm with you guys. I mean, because I've never really fully grasped. I mean, I hear you, Scott, what you're saying about the going out 10 years, but I guess having those numbers, those totals in there, it does make it just a little confusing, because I tend to look at the 10-year total, and actually that's not what I should be looking at. I should be looking at the 16-year total, because that's
representing. But the 16-year total is there. I don't understand.
I know, but like John's saying, my eye keeps going to the bigger number, that 2.9, you know, with the 10-year. And that's
but that's why it's bolded and underlined and called total at the end of the table. I mean, we're calling it in the narrative, we're calling attention to that same number. That's why in the narrative, you see two numbers that are bolded, the average annual, which is the beginning number, and then the final, which is the 16-year number, which is bolded and underlined. So yeah. I don't see the harm in including the splitting out the 10-year and the other 6-year total. I don't get the harm in that.
Well, I think so. We're essentially trying to present two different things. One is we're trying to present what this looks like after 10 years, because we feel that's the appropriate time frame to look at it. But then on the other hand, it doesn't encompass a full cycle of the grader. And so we have to take it out to 16 to see how the whole cycle plays out. So that's a whole different scenario. So, you know, in one way we could say, what is it we're trying to show, 10 years out, or are we trying to show the full cycles? Like, because we're showing both, that's where it gets a little confusing.
I have to disagree, because in conventional capital planning, most capital plans don't go beyond 5 years. Right. And the fact that we're showing 10 is actually pretty extraordinary, that we're even going out to 10 years. And so the fact that we're showing a 10-year number is really kind of the outside realm of what you would show in a conventional capital plan. And actually, if there are any kind of unusual numbers here, and I don't disagree. I mean, I agree with all the points that have been made about, to really do a full spectrum picture, you've got to go out to 16. I agree with that. But I think we would be not in keeping with typical capital planning practices if we didn't include, really, I mean, you would normally include a 5-year projection, not even a 10-year. But the fact that we've gone out to 10 is, in my mind, necessary, because that's traditional capital planning. You don't typically even go out beyond 10 years or even 5.
So then, just from a simplicity standpoint in presenting this, would we in the narrative just give the 10-year total and say, and we know this is good because we've run it out to 16, But, you know, just focus on the 10 and leave it at
well,
that.
Well, that's where we started. But I would go back to John Moore's comments that he, and I agree with him here, that he was insistent on what we were calling full disclosure. And to me, the full disclosure are the columns of those three outward columns. What is the burden, 32 through 37? What are the financing costs? And then what's the grand total? Those three columns represent the full disclosure that John Moore said we should have, which I agree we should have. But to me, the two key numbers, really, from a capital planning standpoint. Are the full disclosure columns.
Could I make another comment? Can you hear me?
Yeah, please. We can hear you.
All right. You look at the, I'm looking at the summary sheet now, Pomfret Save Up model. The first line, pay as you go without using the current reserves. You look at those numbers across there. Of course, it starts with 418,000 because we've got the grader and the truck. You're going along, bumping along, looking like 140, 160, such a. Look at 2036. $500,000. You have to be ready for that $500,000. And if you cut it off and you stop at 10 years, you're never going to get it.
Nobody is saying cut it off at 10 years, Neil. I never said cut it off. All I said was, we're going to provide the detail, but we've got the number for the out years for 32, and they're summarized. But if you want to call out a specific year, we can do that in the narrative. But I never said, let's cut off 32 through 37.
I didn't say you were, but okay. When you call attention to the 10 years, you are diminishing the importance of looking out beyond 10 years.
I disagree. I totally disagree with that. That's not diminishing anything. Look, in the narrative, those numbers are bolded and underlined. So we're calling attention to the total number and the annual average. I don't know where you're coming from to say that something is being diminished.
When you call attention to the 10-year total, it means you could stop there. That's the way we normally make a plan. We stop at 5 or 10. You can't do that when you're buying a grader in 2036.
But you can, Neil, because
okay.
you're coming from a place as if this capital planning committee is never going to meet again. And that's not true. The capital planning committee will continue to meet. There will be continued year after year reevaluation of this stuff. So we should be eyeballing this stuff, if not on an annual basis. It's going to get attention year after year. So it's not as if that 500,000 is going to hit the town upside the head out of surprise. That's why planning is important. We keep revisiting these numbers. We keep re-strategizing. I don't see how in this narrative the including the 10-year number somehow diminishes any other numbers in here, because again, we've got the total, we've got the annual average, those are both bolded, one is underlined. If anything, we're calling attention to both the annual average and the total number out to the right. So
I guess the only thing that may help Neil is if they add another column over there, which John said he could do, on the very far right, then that will be where your eye goes and that will be the column that adds in the finance charge, so you don't have to add it in by yourself, and it will add up, it will bring out the 16-year total. So all that noise that you're looking at in column M and N will be kind of, it'll be there, but people, it won't, your eye won't go to that because it'll go to the total column at the end. That's our only hope.
And that's fine.
We can actually do that. That total, we can add it into the summary and to the detail. And I know Scott already has it in his Word document. But I just want to make sure, John, you're calling those finance charges. Those are not finance charges. Those are future loan payments.
I misspoke on that. I understand. You're right.
I hate to have people think it costs that much.
No, it's not. I misspoke. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
No worries.
Well, in order to move this thing along here, I'm okay with. I don't agree with showing the 10-year thing, but if it let's not labor that point anymore. It's fine. Leave it in there. If I don't want to use it and I want to ignore it, I can. And the select board needs that information. That's fine. Leave it in there, and we'll move on to the next issue.
Hey Scott, are these spreadsheets ever going to be made available in our report, or just the summaries that you put into the Word document?
I expected that we would deliver the narrative and the spreadsheet. Because I think, I'm not sure who said it, but somebody said there are people on the select board who love to go through spreadsheets, so why not? And really, truth be told, we should actually, just like we have in the past, publish all this data on the committee's webpage so that even the public can look at this data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the select board needs this document, no question.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
Okay. So, okay, well, it seems like we're in a good place. What else, everybody? What else should we cover while we're together?
I've got some on your pros and cons, if you want to bring them up. I got a couple of comments.
Sure. Yeah, I'm on the spreadsheet, sorry. Let me share that. Okay, go ahead, John.
Okay, on the first one, you say the cash purchase, the most familiar to Pomfret's past practices. I would leave it at that. I think you're stepping out and avoids what feels like a major change.
Okay.
I don't see any point in that.
But
most people on that board have paid cash for stuff, and most people have financed stuff. So I don't.
Any others, John?
It looks like that they're stubborn. They don't want to change. I don't think that's the case. And then,
sorry, my connection broke up, John. I might have missed the last couple of seconds.
I think it's maybe my internet is screwing up. It says my internet is unstable. I'm getting the same thing.
EC fiber.
It says here, I would just say most familiar to Pomfret's past practices, period.
Yeah, I did that. I changed it.
Okay. And then, over on the cons for the financing, you say may make town officials uncomfortable managing purchases in a more sophisticated way than cash purchases. So you're assuming that a loan is a more sophisticated way. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's better or worse. And I'm not sure it's more sophisticated. Maybe it is. You're assuming that, I assume.
Okay. Do you have some suggested? These are all brainstorming, so I'm not wedded to any of this. Do you have
You're kind of belittling the people on the board as if they're.
It's not meant to belittle anybody. So if you've got some suggested edits, I'm
I don't know. Let me think about it. I'll email something. I just was pointing out what I.
Okay. I mean, all of these were brainstorming, so I'm not you know, I'm not stuck on any of them.
On the cons, on the cash purchases that you mentioned, taxpayers must first pay before experiencing the benefits of the vehicles in the future. That's right. Sort of, there's two ways to look at that, I guess, as you pay $150,000 a year to get your roads taken care of and you don't care what piece of equipment does it, or you buy the equipment, but then you don't benefit until, I don't know, it's, I guess you can throw it in there. I don't think it means a whole lot one way or another in terms of
what this is trying to say is the difference between the cash and the financing is, with financing, you can buy it today, but with cash, you have to wait 5 years to buy a truck and you have to wait 7 years or 14 for a grader before you can buy it. So, you know,
I would take question to that only because if you look at the spreadsheet
you're right. You're right. There's no difference in the spreadsheet, right? The timing's all the same, right?
No, you don't save up that. There's on the spreadsheet where you put in the reserve account, there's nobody's saving up for that grader for 14 years.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying is that you're right. It's all right now, all these models are being purchased on the same time frame.
Yeah, so does that comment really plug and play?
But you're saving up, right? So I agree that what you said, Scott, wasn't right, and you just said it wasn't right. but you are for any vehicle, you're saving up before you buy it. I mean, you can't let you're not letting the reserve account go negative, right?
No, but so if you've got $150,000 going into the reserve account and the grader costs $300,000, you don't need to buy any trucks in the meantime. You save up for 2 years, or you maybe save up for 3 years. But the point that Scott was making, you save up for 14 years. That's a theoretical case, yes, but it's not the practice of how this model works. Money's going in and money's coming out. There's not a lot of money sitting there. There's a maximum balance in that account of probably $200,000, which is 2 years worth of savings.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this statement is true in a hypothetical sense, but in the models we're putting forward, John, I would agree with you that everything is timed. The purchases are all timed at the same time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so I'd agree with you. I think normally this comment would be true and relevant, but in our models, it's not.
And then to get to John's comment is typically you save up, and that's the comment down in financing. At current rates, borrowing benefits the taxpayer for well over 40 years due to the windfall savings experienced in the 5 to 7 years of each vehicle purchase. On that model that John ran, he saved up $39,000 and change for a truck for 5 years. And then he financed it. So there was still that money saved up for the truck that never got bought. And so it took 49 years for the finance charges to whittle away at the $153,000. That again is a hypothetical, the same as the con up there that we just talked about. The town is not saving up money like that. So I would scratch that. I think if you try to defend that, you've got a problem.
Well, I think it may not be 40 years, but I think this is better question for John Ricketson, but
it's actually 49 years.
In our current modeling, I think there is still that quote windfall, but I'm not sure what the number is.
Yeah, I mean it's what speaks to it best to show is that the loan model is, you know, however much less per year in the level funding, right? And so, or if you want to look at averages, you can look at the difference in the averages. But that's all it's saying is that sort of benefit continues on for many years until you finally overcome the benefit of you know, not having to pay the money out the first 5 to 7 years. Right. That's, and we went through that, right? And that big long right. spreadsheet I had for 50 years.
Yeah, but I didn't think any money was being paid out for the first 5 years. It's being saved up.
Yeah. Well, that's the windfall.
Well, what's saved up now? You've only got $131,000 in the bank.
Well, it's not the money that's saved up. It's the money that
it will be saved up in the next 5 to 7 years. Yeah.
But nothing's being saved up very much in this model. It's the maximum amount is a couple hundred thousand.
The reserve account. You got to compare that to how much cash is being spent out the door. I mean,
the cash that's going out the door is the same in the loan model as in the buy model. Pretty much, it's the same thing except for the finance charge. You still buy the same stuff. You're just paying for it on time versus paying cash for it.
But it's in different years. That's the point.
Right. True.
I mean, I think this is still a relevant point. I'm less confident about whether it's
but go ahead.
40 years. John Rickettson, you're better acquainted.
So well over 40 years, because I agree that's a bold statement. But I do think there is the windfall. I think that's probably the most important thing.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. So I don't mind, if you want to take out the for well over 40 years part of that phrase, I would compromise there.
I think that's more innocuous to put it that way. Okay.
I guess and maybe you'll correct them, John or Scott, but I just went through all of the charts that you had for the Pomfret model data, annual average and total, where it says up on the Pomfret model data. It's the right there. So if you take the 182,507 times 16, it comes to 2,920. If you take the 174,712 times 16, oh, I guess you have corrected them. Okay.
Yeah, it was wrong. It was wrong in my previous version. John Rickettson corrected him.
Okay, yeah, because I had 2,005,000. It's 2,745,000. Okay, so those have all been.
Yeah, John corrected those. They're good to go.
Okay, all right, good. Bring up that one on the, and you corrected the one on the weathers on the.
That one got corrected too. Yep.
Is that bring up the one on the mixed one, the cash.
Yeah, I didn't, John Rickettson, I didn't see an error on that one, but did I miss it? That's not
correct. If you take 168,846 times 16, you come up with 2,701,536. And the next line, you come up with 2,572. So either the total is right and the average is wrong.
Yeah. Let me go to the average. I could have goofed up. Hang on, bear with me. That should be 847, but that still doesn't get it. I don't know. Did I miss something?
Well, the 168,847 times 16 is not 2,977. Is that what you're saying?
I got 2,701,535.
All right. Oh, the average is from the 16 year total, not from the. It's not the total, including the loan payment.
So where's the
total? It would go out beyond 37. So the 16-year total is 2.701.
So I should backwards. Wait. I'm sorry. Which one are we on right now?
The last one.
The last one, but the first row or the second row or the third?
They're all first. Wrong.
On yeah, they're all wrong, but which one are we on?
We're on the first row.
Okay. And what should the total be? 2701. Okay, I'm sorry. That's my mistake. 2701546.
So wait a minute. So I'm confused here because the average annuals for any of the loan examples here are not based on the total, including the beyond 37 loan payments, which you've got them labeled as finance, which they shouldn't be. Right? That doesn't make sense to have an average for things that go into, you know, 2043.
What I did to get the average is I just took columns E through T. Row 21, E through T.
The 16-year total.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, E through T. I get the...
Yeah, so that's what, that's what you had done, and that's correct.
Okay, but, so it's just my total was wrong.
Well, no, your total includes the loan payments.
Oh, yeah, right. What? Right, exactly. I'm sorry. That's right. Yep. I take that back. Right. That's correct. The total includes the loan payments. It includes the 275,552.
So what you don't really show here is the 16-year total, but the average is the 16-year total divided by 16.
Correct. Yeah, that's right.
Because are you okay with that?
Because that's what it's going to be, right? That is going to be the average.
It is.
Yeah. Right. So, John Moore, do you get it now? You can't do the same math as on the other ones.
So what total do I take to take the average? Where is it on this sheet? I mean,
you got to average columns E through T because that's actually what's going out the door. But the remaining loan payments beyond 2037 are not included in that, but they are included in the total.
The other way you could do it is on your Word document. You could take the 10-year total plus the 32 to 37 year total, add those together and divide by 16. That'll get you the average.
Yeah. It's
the 10-year average.
You know, seeing that Neil and I weren't too successful getting rid of the 10-year total on the previous go around, and that's the detailed spreadsheet. So you got a point there, Scott. Maybe you should combine them here. Would that make sense?
I mean, I can add another column. It's fine, but I honestly, guys, I don't want to keep going back over this. I mean, I'm happy if you want a 16-year total.
No, I don't. I just went through to do some math and I couldn't figure it out. So and obviously if somebody else does the math, it won't work for them either because the columns that you were talking about are not, well, actually they're here. If you added the 1566, 217 plus the 1,135, 329 and divide by 16, you'd have the answer. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So we can just, somebody asked, we can just explain it.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yep. And Scott, I'm being picky, but that finance 37 plus, it's really loan payments, right?
I changed the heading. It says future loan payment.
Oh, it did. Okay. All right. I must be looking at it. Sorry.
I changed it on
my computer. I apologize.
Yeah. I changed it before when we were talking.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I see it now. Yeah. Looking at the wrong one.
So what is this basically telling me, Scott? If on the top one, I'm paying 2.9 million, 2.8. And what's the, Why is the first one more money?
Scott, he's referring to the lines of this one you were just on.
Yeah.
The last one.
Yeah. Right there. Hey, tax. I'm just trying to figure this out. Tax and pay as you go without using current reserves. So I take the 2,977,089 and subtract 131,000. And I guess I would come up with.
Yeah, it's because it's not using the reserve balance.
2846. Again, you could relabel that one as cash out, right? Instead of, I think we already agreed on the detail that that's not a viable payment plan. It's more of a, that's how much money is going out the door.
Right.
So this is Neil again. Am I there?
You're here.
Okay. Do we need the little yellow box for the funding calculator?
What do you mean? In the spreadsheet?
In the spreadsheet. I put it in there to get the right a number so that you always had a positive balance in the reserve fund. So the balance, the ending balance is always positive with whatever number you put in. And I'd use that to experiment, try this number, try another one, go up, go down until it comes out right. I don't think we need it now. Settled on 145 for the first one with the Pomfret Save Up model, and that's it.
No, I mean, you're right. We don't really need it. I don't know what the best route to go on that is, whether just to, maybe the thing to do, I don't know, is to have kind of the,
you could just hide that row, you know.
Yeah, it's something either lock it or hide it or
because but, I think those cells are dependent on.
Yeah, it's going to break if we get rid of it. You can hide it. Yeah.
Yeah, you can just hide it, but I don't think you want to get rid of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't get rid of it. Yeah, but
thank you.
Okay. All right. Well. I think with just sort of, John, you're going to send me maybe some more comments on the pros and cons.
Yeah, I haven't really thought that through. I just.
Okay. And I'm going to do more narrative, write up some narrative on the last two charts. But I, you know, why don't we give it another. I'm just going to assume that any changes from here on out are going to be pretty minor. And if that's the case, I think we can just handle it offline and then just package it up. This will become a PDF and we'll plan to, when we're ready, you know, hopefully I really don't want to go beyond Sunday. If you guys are okay with that, to any last tweaks and then get it shipped up to the select board so they can include it in the select board packet for next Wednesday.
This is Neil again, and I agree that we should send that to the select board as soon as possible.
Yep.
So that they have a chance to look at it and begin to digest or begin to think about questions and for the presentation.
Yeah, agreed. I'm just saying Sunday at the latest, ideally before then, but Sunday at the latest.
You're saying Sunday at the latest to get you any tweaks?
Any tweaks. Yep.
Okay. And then you're going to just create a final version after.
Yeah, I'm just going to create a final PDF version. Then I'll ship it off. And you know, of course, we haven't talked about next Wednesday, but I asked on the agenda for at least a half an hour to talk about this with the select board. And of course, everybody should feel welcome to come and speak. But, you know, I guess I just want to, I don't know, I'll just leave it at that. And let's try and get it to select board. And I just want to thank everybody for how much work has gone into this. I know it has felt laborious, but I really do think this is a great product. And it's the result of a lot of great, thoughtful work. So I think we should all feel good about that.
And I second the motion.
Okay. Any other, John Ricketson, or was somebody?
I'm sorry, I was just going to say I'm going to hide. I'll hide those couple of rows, and I think we talked about adding a couple more totals out in the detail.
Yep. Right.
So I'm working. I'll get this out, and I promise that's the last one.
Okay. All right. Well, good. I think we're in good shape. Awesome. I think this is a really good product, and then we can turn our attention to buildings. We're not done yet, but I think the building stuff will be easier.
Certainly doesn't have the dollar value that this has at the moment anyway.
Yeah. I mean, my experience is we get through the building stuff pretty easily. And thanks to Hunter for all of his kind of offering us the structure around the buildings. I think we'll get through it pretty quick.
Great.
Okay, guys. I think we're good unless there's any other.
I got one question for you, Scott.
All righty.
At the last select board meeting, I think they asked you how long you thought it would take for the presentation. I think you said 45 minutes.
Yeah, I threw out 45 minutes. I hope it doesn't take that long. I don't know whether we'll get 45 minutes.
No, I'm not sure you'll get 45, but I would think, unless they look at this very careful, I guess I wonder whether you want to, I guess you, this is the presentation, but I don't see how you can go over all that you've got on this chart for much less than probably half an hour. And I guess my question is, are they going to go glossy after 30 minutes, or are you better to pick certain things on this detail to go over, not the whole thing?
I would err on the side of the latter, is that let the select board members absorb it, you know, if they want to absorb the details. But I think our job should be to give them the document, give them the information. But I would think in our 30 minutes, we would want to call their attention to the things that matter the most.
Okay.
You know, keep it to the point, keep it succinct. And as often is the case, you know, provide the full information, but call their attention to the key points.
Yep.
And I think that, again, if you start off with the fact that you're, and I've said this a number of times, but one more don't hurt any, the fact that you've got this replacement schedule in place and a way to look at inflation and depreciation and trade-in values on out, even though it may be iffy after you get out too many years, it's a damn good methodology.
I'm going to quote you on that, Neil. It's a damn good methodology.
Well, you can do whatever you want, but it is. It's a giant step ahead for capital planning and budgeting for the select board.
I think that should be our lead quote for Wednesday. It's a damn good. And I think there's a word we should also put in the narrative now that just occurred to me. Hunter mentioned this earlier, and it's in keeping with what you just said, Neil, is we're really trying to present a sustainable approach. And I think that's why this comprehensive set of numbers, to me, that's what this comprehensive set of numbers does, is it presents different forks in the road the select board can follow, but all of them are lead towards sustainable approaches. Except for maybe that one that John was talking about, but by and large, these are sustainable approaches. All right. Well, damn good. Unless there's any more comments, why don't we call adjournment? And any last parting comments? All righty. Well, that's it. And thank you, everybody, for all this hard work. I think it's really paid off.
Great. Thanks, Scott.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.